What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
The Buckeyes are national champions again. Big Mike says, guys, can you clear something up? ESPN was saying it's Ohio State's seventh national title. Your last first said nine. I think he's saying update.
Ryan Day said nine titles like 20 times in the postgame.
So this is where it is that before like any of us were like born, and I mean most of the people listening, there was like a Harris poll, a UPI poll. There were several different polls. So, like, Pitt can claim nine national championships. Teams claim an obscene amount of national champions.
Well, UCF claims one.
Yeah, like, there is... Ohio State, I believe, has a national championship that's credited to them from, like, 1933 that they don't even claim. Like, it's not at the Woody. It's not on their official website. But they are credited with a national championship that they don't even claim. So, in those days... It was kind of the Wild West. College football is not what it is now.
And Alabama is the school that they've really kind of ruined it because they claim a ton of those titles that no other school would claim. So they boast this huge number that isn't remotely accurate. And of course, back then, remember, young kids, there were no playoffs. Like it was literally pollsters would say, your team won the championship.
Well, you would lose games because remember, you were given a national championship or named a national champion even before bowl games.
Yes.
So you go out and lose a bowl game. It's like, well, what the hell are you talking about? Nah, it didn't matter. So I think for any fan base out there, when in doubt, take the higher number.
Well,
so you're
that's
a nine-time national champion. Like, Ohio State's won nine.
Like on Wikipedia, they say national titles, nine unclaimed. Seven unclaimed. So if we were Alabama, we'd say 16. You know, they really do.
Like unclaimed freight. Go ahead and claim them.
And go through some of those Bama ones. No,
auction it off.
No business. No business claiming some of those.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hello, Daryl.
Hello, boys.
Wonderful to speak to you. What was the experience like for you last night watching Ohio State win the national championship?
Well, that's three in my lifetime, so I'm pretty happy. And it's pretty cool. They won a BCS title. They were the champions of the first 4-team playoff, and now the champions of the first 12-team playoff. So go ahead and expand it to 16 so they can win another one.
Daryl, it seems to be the monkey is off the back of Ryan Day. I've seen some people say, well, no, if he loses to Michigan next year, and I'm like, I guess who cares? Yeah, that sucks. That's bad. It's our rival, but... Now you can win the national championship without even needing that game or the Big Ten championship.
Yeah, I mean, look, there are people reminding me that I was amongst the many calling for Ryan Day to be fired after that loss to Michigan. But, you know, after a couple of weeks of simmering down, the reality is the landscape, like you said, Anthony, of college football, it's changed. The game no longer means what the game used to mean, right? And these kids, they're not there long enough, a lot of them, anymore for it to be the bitter rivalry that it used to be. For a lot of them, it's just another game on the schedule. And the same thing goes in the NFL, right? I mean, you know, the Ravens game for Cleveland Browns players does not mean the same thing to them as it does to Browns fans or the Steelers. It's just another game on the schedule for them. So... It is, you know, the landscape has changed. It certainly one heck of a redemption story for Ryan Day, because you know he basically went from goat to hero in the span of a month.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers. For him, like silencing critics, I thought that again it has to mean so much more to him. And I'm glad that he didn't. I thought he might cut a promo last night. I thought I would if I were him. But then I'm going, no, he understands who got him there. He understands that that wasn't the right time to do it, especially because, I mean, the players are the ones defending him throughout all this over these last couple of months.
Yeah, and the players defended him by winning those four games, beating top 5, top 10 teams. to win the whole thing. And look, that was your defense, right? You couldn't go out there and defend Ryan Day and then not get it done in the college football playoff, right? The fact that they went through the gauntlet that they did to not only get to but win the national championship, you know, obviously speaks to the talent that the Buckeyes had and everyone thought they had. They were a favorite to win the national title going into this season. They lost a squeaker there on the West Coast in Oregon, and everyone was saying, hey, you put that at a neutral site or put that in Columbus and the Buckeyes win that football game. Well, they got their, you know, their opportunity for revenge, and I mean, they just absolutely hammered the Ducks in the playoffs. So, you know, the players did the talking and, you know, backing up Ryan Day by going out there and winning four straight against tough competition.
I want to ask you this question. I know I'm going to ask Andrew Brandt about it coming up here in 40 minutes, but you know what? You're the Browns guy, and I went after you for reading 264 pages of legalese back on Friday. But Will Howard, chances to go to the Browns at some point, not number two or in the first round probably, but where do you see Will Howard, and do you see the Browns considering him?
I'd probably say he's a mid-round draft pick in the making, third round and later. I don't know if he ends up here in Cleveland. I kind of have my gut is now telling me they're going to take a quarterback at two.
Whoa!
Here we go, Daryl.
Daryl!
As much as I detest that idea of them taking a quarterback at two, it would be my worst nightmare come true. Because I just don't trust them to get it right. I mean, they've been screwing it up for 26 years, and this regime hadn't exactly been hitting bangers at the position either. So I am ye of little faith here when it comes to their ability to properly evaluate that position. So,
I feel different. I think they're going to trade back. Now, if Jason Lloyd is right, which Mary Kay said the opposite later on Thursday, but if Jason is right, Jason said that Kevin's going to be the one in charge of going after a quarterback, and I'm going, well, okay, that's Kirk Cousins, and that's trade down and get a guy later on.
Yeah, well, I'm all aboard the trade down train there. I've been leading it, so I hope that's what they do. But my worry is that they're going to see the light at the end of the train tracks, they're approaching rather quickly, and they're going to take a chance on somebody and basically say, we need it, we got to do it, look what happened in Washington, and let's try and do that here in Cleveland with the number two pick. And I don't think it's that easy. I don't think there's a Daniels in this draft. I really don't. I don't think this quarterback class is all that good. I have no problem drafting a quarterback later in the, whether it's, you know, you guys brought up Will Howard, right? Okay, fine. You want to take a chance of him on the in the fourth round? No issue with that. Great, fantastic. Maybe find lightning in a bottle there. You know, similar to the DTR pick in the fifth round a couple years ago. Like, I have no problem taking a stab in the dark in the middle of the draft at a quarterback, but, you know, let's not act like this guy's the franchise quarterback on day one and he's the, you know, the savior of everything. Like, that's not what you're doing when you, you know, pick a QB in one of those spots. But I'm with you, Ken. I want him to trade down, stay in the top 10, so you still get a blue chip player that can help you. You collect a draft pick for next year, because I'm hoping that the quarterback class next year is better, and then you are armed with the ammunition you need to go up and get one of those quarterbacks next year. I fear that they're going to take one at two because they have to take one and they need one, and then when you do that, you just get yourself into all kinds of trouble.
Daryl Ryder with us. I know you were watching all the NFL this weekend.
It was fun, wasn't it?
Well, I love to sit back and just take it all in, but Baltimore loses again, and Lamar Jackson was you know, very polarizing. His game was kind of all over the map. Did you blame him or did you blame Mark Andrews for the way they lost that game?
Oh, that's all on Mark Andrews, man. The fumble, and then you drop the tying two-point conversion. And look, Lamar was, I thought, handled it beautifully after the game. That's what leaders do. Hey, this is on me. That's not on Mark. That's not on me. I had a couple of turnovers that killed us. This is a team game, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But Andrews, who is an all-pro tight end, just, you know, flat out didn't make the play when he needed to make the play. I mean, that's sports. It happens. But it was nice to see the Buffalo Bills win that game. I picked the Bills to win the game. They did. I went 3-for-4. Unfortunately, the Lions couldn't hold up their share of the deal here. But glad to see the Bills advance. And boy, a lot of people, including myself, going to be rooting for them next weekend.
What'd you think of the way that weather had an impact on some of these games? Definitely looked like a different brand of football. Yeah. I was telling Owen, I mean, Patrick Mahomes had like 170 passing yards. Philadelphia in that game, they couldn't throw the ball. The Rams really couldn't throw until late. Overall, your thoughts on how weather impacted it, and does it have you thinking about what it could be like in a playoff game if the Browns ever get one at home?
Yeah, that's cute. You think the Browns are actually ever going to host a playoff game again?
It's got to happen sometime.
Well, it's been like 40 years.
How long do we go? Do we past the Super Bowl? Can we stop being down about everything? Can we stop being down about everything?
No.
All right, so we're just going to take a dump on everything until kingdom come.
Because the same people that gave you that sandwich this past year are still in charge.
Well, I'm sure the Browns fans are going to want to continue to take dumps on this whole thing for the entire offseason. I'm sure that they're not going to be excited by anything that they do whatsoever. Great. Glad to hear it.
You know what, Ken?
Wonderful.
You know what, Ken? I think the Browns fans need to make them earn it the way that they do with the Guardians and the Cavs. You got to earn it. You got to win. To get talked about and get the love, you got to win.
It's a different sport.
I don't care. I really don't care. I think that.
Do you think Guardians fans want to hear me lament about the Dodgers getting another person in free agency?
I mean,
we could do that. I could do that all day.
I just.
Do you want me to ask them whether or not they should pick a big market team to be a fan of as well, like Mitch has? Maybe Mitch was the one who broke the code for all of us.
I just think that the double standard needs to stop in this town.
Okay, then break the double standard right now.
The Guardians are coming off an ALCS appearance.
Yes, I know that.
The Cavs are the best team in the NBA. Like,
okay,
you know what? Why don't they get more love?
They get plenty of love. They don't get as much love at this time of year, and plus, people like talking about football.
Okay,
you know the truth. I mean, Daryl,
I know. I know the truth.
If you were our baseball beat reporter, I would bring you on and talk about nothing but baseball. It's the same thing if you were our basketball guy.
Oh, I know.
But you're a football guy. And, hey, we started this whole thing with the Ohio State Buckeyes. If you want me to ask you Guardians questions, I'll ask you Guardians questions. Are you concerned about Stephen Vogt's? Are you concerned about Stephen Vogt's coaching staff that he's had to make some changes and maybe it won't be the same type of mix that he's had in the past couple of years? Who do you think is going to take over at second base? Are we the type of team that has the type of leadership that is able to weather the storm with a young person taking over second base? At what point will Travis Bazana be brought up? Now, I want answers right now, damn it. Give me my answers.
Hopefully.
I'm messing with you.
I'll give you some answers, though. I think yes, because I think the Guardians are the most consistently run team in all of Major League Baseball over the last 15 years or so. I don't know when we see Benzana, but obviously they are counting on him in the near future. I'm not too worried that, you know, they kept the one guy that I was worried about, and that was Carl Willis. Everything else, I'm moving pieces and parts, whatever. Carl Willis was the guy I was worried about.
I got to tell you, I disagree. I thought Chris Valleca brought a fresh perspective, or at least was allowed to bring a fresh perspective to the plate and keeping guys aggressive at the plate. I think that's the reason why we found out that they weren't going to fall in love with Andrés Giménez anymore, and they needed to move on because he was so timid at the plate last year.
Well, but they also do a good job watching the film in the dugout in between at bats.
Well, apparently he wasn't, according to what a lot of sources say, but that's neither here nor there. Neither here nor there. Is Juan Brito an overrated prospect at second base? I'm going to ask you that next time you come on, Daryl. Go ahead, Tone. Go ahead.
Well, I never got an answer about the weather. What did you think of how that played out? And do you think that would change Browns fans' minds about a dome?
It was fun watching guys on skates.
Is that football, Daryl? Shaky footing?
I think, just like we were talking about the evolution of college football, I think the NFL is changing too. And you're seeing, Jacksonville's putting a roof over their stadium. Not necessarily doming it, but it's going to have a roof on it. The Commanders are looking into building a dome. The Chicago Bears want to build a dome. Kansas City Chiefs are looking into building a dome. That's where the league is going. Teams want to build domes. And the reason why teams want to build domes, and this will shock you, it's not because of the weather. It's because they see the ability to generate additional revenue outside of their 8 or 9 home games that they get per year in the regular season. That's what it's about. That's what the Browns see. It's an opportunity to bring in big events to those communities, compete for bigger events. They look at what Indianapolis has done. Indianapolis is a smaller city than Cleveland. They built a dome. They connected it to their convention center underground, so you don't even have to go outside.
It's the best setup ever. It's amazing.
It really is. And again, it's why I always get so frustrated with the people that do the civic planning in this area, because nobody thinks big about anything. It's always about, well, that's just the way it's always been, so we got to keep doing it that way. It's part of the reason that everyone finds themselves in the position that they find themselves in with the current stadium. It wasn't done right to begin with. Therefore, getting it done right becomes ultimately more expensive. The reason the Guardians and the Cavaliers didn't have to ask for a new ballpark or new arena, because that complex was built really, really well. But, construction costs are what they are, and all of a sudden they ran out of money. And, they had to go to the county and the city of Cleveland and with the hands out, hey, we need $20 million from you and another $20 million from you to cover costs. Construction costs are exploding right now for these buildings. So, it would have been nice that if everyone wasn't trying to save face back in the 90s, Everyone took a deep breath and just, okay, we're going to get the team back, but let's do this thing right. Instead, you got your cookie cutter football stadium. No actual NFL team was consulted on design of said stadium, which if there was, it could have saved a lot of the existing problems that they have right now. The convention center is right there. There's no thought of trying to build something indoors that connects to a convention center. And like nobody in this region really thinks big. And then when someone does, all the politicians line up and the developers line up against them because it might impact downtown Cleveland in a negative way, even though it's a $3.5 billion construction project, which, by the way, is right there with what Bedrock is going to spend on the riverfront. But that development on the riverfront will have some competition potentially in Brook Park. Yeah. So nobody wants to see that. So yeah. I just wish people here would think big picture. Hey, let's get the – wouldn't it be nice to watch the Ohio State Buckeyes win a national championship in Cleveland, Ohio?
Well, Daryl, that's a totally different ball of wax. And thank you very much for your time. Saying. And you better bone up on your Juan burrito, okay?
Cavs won last night, by the way.
They did.
Dominated.
Yeah, they
blew
did.
Out the Suns without three guys.
Kevin Durant just on that team just kind of looks old. Daryl, thank you very much for the time. All the best.
Later, boys.
Daryl has lived rent-free in my head over the last 2 weeks, because just because it happened for Washington and Jaden Daniels doesn't mean it's going to happen for the Browns. But, not taking the quarterback is the only way I'll guarantee it doesn't happen for the Browns. Like, it could happen for the Browns, and it could end up spectacularly as a failure in a spectacular fashion. But I can guarantee you don't have a chance if you don't take a guy up there. I don't think that Jaden Daniels is the right comparison. Just saying, I don't believe we should just say, well, it happened for Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders, so it's going to happen for us. Yet, there's a way to guarantee it doesn't. And there's so many people that are right. Like, you've taken a quarterback number one overall, and I mean, honestly, would he be... We would be arguing whether or not he's overpaid. Had he stayed, we'd be arguing whether or not he's overpaid. If he is ever going to be the type of quarterback we picked him to be, is he worth a number one? But honestly, the guy's been pretty good. All right, the guy's been pretty good. We took Tim Couch. Tim Couch was ruined by an expansion franchise that had to pay the fiddler for the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Carolina Panthers doing so well, as we found out in Terry Pluto's book. Other than that, I mean, we haven't done that. We've traded down, taken a guy in draft classes, then got mad and then blamed the Browns and saying that, well, we've taken quarterbacks high. We really haven't. We really have not done that.
No, I mean, we'd waited for 22nd. Remember, we had a string of the quarterbacks that we were taking 22nd overall. It's what's interesting, Jaden Daniels, if you go back and look at his ratings when he came out, he had a lot of second-round grades, right? And that's kind of where, you know, Shedeur Sanders was until this season, until he actually, it's probably even lower. But this season, the way that he improved, and Cam Ward as well, the way that those guys improved throughout the year has boosted up their grades. Now, I'm not talking where they'll get picked, because that's very different from the grade. Same thing, Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels got picked higher than where he was graded. That's the only reason for the comparison. Like, it's just that we kind of openly admit every year, we don't really know. This is not a science. Picking these quarterbacks is not a science at all. Look at the bust rate. Look at where they tend to go. Of course, the inflation happens every year where these guys end up not only going first round, they end up going in the top half of the first round. Really, they end up going the top six.
But you started to see guys who were talked about pre-draft. We've seen them be talked about to a certain level, but all of a sudden the night of the draft comes around. Like Will Levis, people thought he was going to be a first round draft choice. Fell to the second round. Malik Willis was thought to be, by a lot of people, going to be a first-round draft choice. Ended up falling to late day two. So, there's been a little bit of a conversation to be had where guys are pumped up a little bit more than what the NFL actually thinks they're going to be. And I think we'll probably see that with this draft class coming up here. Yeah, somebody's going to pay the fiddler for it.
This is why it's tantalizing. And I hear Daryl and everybody say we don't trust Andrew Berry in this spot. It's weird. We haven't had the first round picks and haven't needed a quarterback, or at least on paper going into the draft. Hey, we've got a top pick and we need a quarterback. So it's tough to know. It's tough to know what are the odds that they get this thing right. I'm with everybody else. Like, yeah, I just haven't seen enough in the draft. But this is a unique spot for Andrew Berry and this front office and this organization. Yeah. And I just can't shake the fact that it's not just a Browns thing, guys. The league and the pundits are missing on these quarterbacks more than ever before.
Yep.
So that is what's pausing me on any of the, well, you're not just going to take quarterback just because you need one. It's like you kind of eventually do have to throw your hands up in the air on a lot of these and say, okay, I mean, we go back to Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson was no sure thing. And the Baltimore Ravens not only didn't take him with their first round pick, when they started, they traded up and got him with the second pick. They took a tight end before him, so they weren't sure about Lamar Jackson. In the end, you're never going to be totally sure. But there is one thing we're sure of. They have the number two pick.
Well, you know,
control the strings of this draft outside of whatever Tennessee wants to do at number one.
You know what needs to happen here is, number one, who do you think is going to go on number one overall? Do you believe it's going to be Cam Ward?
Yeah, okay, Cam.
I stopped you right there. I do not
think the Browns have a shot at Cam Ward.
Okay. If the smart money says that Tennessee, more likely than not, is going to take Cam Ward. Because I'll tell you what, if they trade out of that spot, then I think you have to ask yourself about the class of quarterbacks or anything like that. I think that might throw you off.
Or it doesn't make you think maybe they don't know what they're doing?
Who, Tennessee?
Yes.
That's a possibility. That is absolutely a possibility. You have to take that into account as well. I mean, they just hired a new general manager over the weekend.
But by the way, is what people will say with us. If we trade out and somebody trades up to go get Shedeur, people are
going to
say, the Browns? Browns are passing up on a quarterback?
I think for the popularity of the pick and the choice of taking a quarterback, Shedeur Sanders and Deion Sanders could end all of this if they just came out and said, we would play for the Browns if the Browns were to take us number two. Or Shedeur. Deion ain't playing for anybody. Shedeur would play for the Browns if the Browns draft him at number two. Because anytime Shedeur gets brought up, I get a laundry list of Browns fans. Who, Kenny, it's not going to happen. They already said they're not going to play here. Well, that was a tweet in March of 2018. I can't say it's a non-factor, a non-issue, until he comes out and he says it's not going to happen. Once he comes out and says he's not going to happen, I'll accept that. And then we could possibly auction off the pick if you want to. But I think if he were to come out and say, yes, if I were selected number two overall by the Browns, I would play for the Browns, I think a lot of people would change their idea of what they think of Shedeur Sanders. There'd still be some people who roll it out and say that he's terrible. They don't like his dad. They don't like him. They don't like the hoopla. Don't invite that circus, as if this circus is any worse than the circus that we've already dealt with over the last 3 years. It's not even close. No, I wouldn't even call it a circus in comparison. But if he came out and said he'd play for the Browns, if the Browns selected him at number two, I guarantee, like, and it was a statement of some sort, I guarantee the next day you and I would have a lot different of a reaction from people on social media. I think people are waiting for him to say he doesn't want to play for the Browns, that this is a mess, they don't want to get their hopes up for it. And so the safe thing is, trade down, take a nice Will Campbell. Trade down, take a nice Mason Graham. Trade down to number three and get Abdul Carter if you want to. Like, that's the way a lot of people are thinking. Like, give me a player that's happy to be here, that's going to be able to play in this uniform. And if Kevin gets his way, I'm putting words in Kevin's mouth here. If Kevin is the one in charge, yeah, take your Kirk Cousins and take your guy later, and we'll get someone else. All right, so what do the Browns need to consider? Would they consider a guy like Will Howard later on? Let's ask Andrew Brand all these things. He's a former Packers president. Also, the Sunday 7 newsletter, business and sports podcast. He joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Andrew, hello.
Hey, good to be with you guys. I now have a son in Cleveland, so I come there a fair amount, and good to be part of the crew now.
How long has he lived here now?
A couple months. He was working in college basketball, and he moved to the pros. So he works for the Cleveland Charge, the G League team of the Cavs. They play at that public hall. It's a great arena. I love it.
That is awesome to know. I did not know that. And now you'll have to have him text Lyman, because Lyman knows all the good spots to go to in downtown Cleveland. Andrew Brandt joining us on the show. This is excellent. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. The Browns find themselves in a bit of a predicament here, Andrew, because, you know, it's like, hey, you need a quarterback. Your situation with your quarterback has gone belly up. I don't think anybody, including the Browns, anticipate him coming back. So if that were to be the way, what do you do when nobody's really head over heels in love with any of these prospects at quarterback?
Well, let me revise something you said, because we talked a lot over the 3 years about that quarterback that you mentioned. It depends how you define back. I mean, he will be back. Will he be back as a active player? Well, that remains to be seen. But as I've talked about so often in my expertise, he's uncuttable and untradeable. And that means they have mortgaged so much cap and so much cash towards that player that to release him or trade him, which is the same cap effect, would be prohibitive. Mm-hmm. That's just not happening. So, and they have to pay him. And I know people are going to come up with ideas, like maybe they can't with the sexual assault or the injury or whatever it is, but they've been talking about that for 3 years. So the question is, what do you do with them? And I think by your comment, it sounds like the best idea that anyone has thought of is just tell them to go away and we'll pay you. But he will not be released from the roster. He's going to be a member of the Cleveland Browns, because cap and contract mandate that. So we can talk more about that. In terms of the future, yeah, I mean, there'll be someone else. Whether that someone else will be a draft pick, will be a veteran, will be a trade, you know, that's what the offseason is for.
Forgive me for a moment there, Andrew. I spoke rather quickly on that, because the latter of what you just said, it's like, well, he'll be a member of the Browns, but I don't anticipate him ever being on the field anytime soon for the Cleveland Browns. Let me ask you, though, about the insurance situation with them. Like, it's been publicized they took out an insurance policy against injury here.
Yeah.
How do they navigate those waters? Because I still don't know, and I can't even speculate on it, and I don't know how much you can say to it. Of, all right, the original injury happened on the field, then he re-aggravates it. Is it because of the original injury? Is that covered under the insurance? Is that in the insurance policy? What can they do about that insurance and expediting the situation as best they can with Deshaun Watson?
Well, let's first talk about NFI. A lot of people in Cleveland asking me about that. Non-football injury. So if a player is hurt, not in the facility and or not doing what he's prescribed to be doing, then there's a chance for NFI, which means you put him on a non-football injury list. You don't have to pay him. You can pay him anywhere between zero and his scheduled salary. of course, people are bringing that up because he had a second injury outside the facility. The question to me is, was he operating under the procedures outlined by his training staff? Obviously, the Browns allowed him to be away from the facility, so he wasn't in breach of anything there, maybe even encouraged him to be away from the facility. So I just don't, you know, that could be an uphill climb, and of course, lawyers and grievances, et cetera. As to insurance, I'm not privy to what the policy they may or may not have gotten on Watson's contract. But insurance is a tricky thing. You know, I did it a couple times on PTD, permanent total disability, where the premiums are very reasonable because the player has to be permanently total disabled. For TTD, temporary total disability, you can imagine the premiums are high because every player in the NFL is temporarily disabled at some point. So it would have to go into what were the exclusions? Was it the knee? Was it the whole body? Were there time limits? What about re-aggravation? And how much? So let's say under some scenario they get back millions. I don't know. Something below $10 million. Okay. That helps a little bit. And the only credit would come with the cap when they actually receive the money and show the NFL they've received the money. And, you know, insurance payments take a long time if they are ever paid. So it's a long process with insurance. So I don't think any fans can sort of count on insurance for helping the Browns cap.
Andrew Brandt with us. One more note just on the salary cap stuff. There are people convinced in Northeast Ohio that because the Haslams are willing to spend money, the way that they have manipulated the contracts, the way that they have loaded them, the way that they have reworked a lot of these deals, there is the thought that it can be sustainable even if they take the massive cap hits with, like, Deshaun Watson, or if they went and got somebody in free agency or traded for another quarterback. You've done this for a living. Like, you've actually done this stuff. Do you agree?
I agree with part two. I agree with there's cap room to add a significant quarterback. I don't agree with part one. I haven't looked at the numbers. I think it's close to or over a nine-figure number in dead money if they moved on from Watson. They're not going to allocate 40% of their cap to dead money on Deshaun Watson. But the way they've managed the cap, and I'm a big fan and friend of Andrew Berry, they have pushed out a lot of money under the theory that cap now is better than cap later. They continue to sort of lead the league in cap room while continuing to push out money on Watson the past couple years. So they have flexibility, and that's for scenarios, I guess, like this. So I do believe they are not limited to build a team around the quarterback or add a new significant quarterback. But I don't believe they would take a hit on Watson this year.
Is there a downside to the way? Why wouldn't every NFL team be doing it this way then?
Well, you build up so much dead cap. And the latest restructure they did on Watson pushes out the pain even more into 27 and 28. And you want to have flexibility in the future. Yes, the cap does go up every year, but, geez, you don't want to hamstring your future that much.
Well, it does sound like eventually the bill is going to come due for Deshaun Watson. We can't just keep kicking this down the road.
I mean, you look at Russell Wilson. Now, again, they made the playoffs. But Russell Wilson counted $53 million on the Broncos cap this year, 30-something million on the Broncos cap next year, for a player that was playing for the Steelers. And he's the biggest cap charge on the Broncos this year, the biggest cap charge on the Broncos next year. So what you're doing is you're sort of mandating that you've got to perform with three quarters of a deck against the rest of the league. Now, Denver had the rookie quarterback. That obviously helps. So they'll have to figure out ways.
So would it be in their best interest to draft a quarterback now and hopefully hit on that guy, and then he's under a rookie contract over the next 4 to 5 seasons?
That's the goal.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at what's going on in Washington. I mean, that's the goal. You can't even renegotiate that contract for 3 years. So Washington has this incredible competitive advantage the next couple of years, as does Denver, as does Chicago, where they have starting players making roughly a few million dollars while their peers are making $50 million. And they can supplement the roster around them.
Andrew Brandt with us. I know you were taking in the national championship game yesterday. You had a lot of details on NIL and the culmination of the lawsuits that have all been filed and what its impact on NIL is. What is your big takeaway about what this world has been like with NIL and where it's going?
I think the overused phrase I'll continue to use up until now is Wild West. We have a system with no rules, essentially made by people like me, I apologize, lawyers, because lawyers went to courts and said, hey, these student-athletes can't do what other students can do. Now, other students aren't going to make hundreds of thousands of dollars, but the point is not the money. Other students could start businesses, could go work pro, do ever what they want. So lawyers have won all these cases. So now we have a settlement, and the settlement should be final approval scheduled for April, and that will set up a couple things. One, back pay to players that didn't get NIL. Two, scholarship limits instead of roster limits. Rosters will come down, but scholarships will go up. And most importantly, a revenue cap. Based on Power Four conference revenues, it's going to be about $20 to $21 million. And what I've noted about Ohio State is everything I read about them was $20 million for the football team. This will be $20 million for the entire 20-something sports of the school. So theoretically, Ohio State football will need a salary cap manager to get them under the cap so they can afford basketball and all the other sports. But we'll see. As with everything, we'll see.
All right. That just means more jobs for people good at math. That makes me feel better. Andrew, we thank you very much for the time. Have a wonderful day. And if we ever bump into your son, we'll give him I'll give him your best, even though I'm sure you talk to him way more than I do, so that was awkward. Andrew, thank you very much for the time.
Thank you, guys.
Andrew Brand on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Yeah, like he doesn't talk to his own boy.